Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll look at verses 7 to 14 together this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 to 14. Another passage about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So I come to do thy will." Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word tonight to teach and grow us. We thank you for the privilege to be here and open it together. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus Christ speaking here in verse 7, he said to the Father, "I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will." When Jesus Christ chose to follow the path of the incarnation of God becoming a man, he chose as a man to submit himself to the will of the Father, which included, as we know and as we've seen, the cross and the suffering. But his plan from the beginning, if you go to Psalm 40, we'll see that David was given a glimpse of this. Now, David wouldn't have understood when he wrote it, but God gave a prophecy of this. This statement by Jesus in Psalm 40, verse 8. Notice Psalm 40, verse 8. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And Jesus told the disciples in John 4, he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." So Christ was saying, that is my mission, is to obey the will of the Lord. And then if you go to John 6, we'll see again Jesus explaining that he came down and became a man that he might accomplish God's perfect will, which, of course, was to die and rise again for us. John 6, verse 38. Notice what it says. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." So that's Jesus speaking there in John 6, when he talks about the bread of life. And then in the garden, if you go to Luke 22, we'll see that in the garden of Gethsemane, most of us know what happened there. Jesus Christ prayed and said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me," referring to the cup of the suffering that he was going to endure, the humiliation, the pain. He said, "If it's possible," there in Luke 22, 42. He says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So he as a human, he knew what was coming. He knew it was going to be horrible. And he said, "If it's possible. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, God wants us to live our lives like this too. To be constantly wanting to fulfill God's will rather than our will. And sometimes those two don't agree with each other. We all know that, don't we? That our will is often led by the old man or the flesh, whereas God's will is given in his word. Did you want to say something, Mark?
Yeah, this one. God is a spirit, and Jesus here, a man, in a fleshly form. So basically, as we all know, there's a battle between the spirit and the flesh.
Right.
And we know in our spirit what to do right and to do God's will. But our battle with the flesh, as you mentioned,
It never goes away. No. There's always this battle. And so it takes us a conscious decision to lean on the Lord and ask for his help and to seek the will of the Lord. You know, James said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, right? In James chapter 4, if the Lord will, we need to learn that not just to say the phrase all the time in a glib way, but to actually mean it. Is this really what God wants for me? To do this particular thing, make this particular decision, go to this particular place. Is it God's will? You often hear, especially the more flighty crowd, the charismatic crowd, they're always blaming everything on God. Well, God told me to do this, and God told me to do this, and God told me to do this. And yet they conflict all the time. It's like, well, God doesn't change his mind like that all the time. But they're always blaming everything on God. Maybe God didn't tell him to do that. So what God tells us is we need to be constantly seeking his will. Where? In his word. Go to Colossians 1 and we'll see this. God wants us to have a knowledge of his will. You know, we're told in Ephesians 5, we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. So if we're commanded to understand the will of the Lord, that must mean that we can find it. I mean, why would God tell us to understand and obey his will and then keep it a secret from us? God doesn't work that way. So notice Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul is saying to the people of Colossae, he says, we're praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He says, I came to do the will of the Lord. And God wants us to do the same. If we're being led to do something foolish, if we're being led to do something unwise, if we're being led to do something not in line with the Scriptures, that is not God leading us. And we don't have a place to blame God for it. That is us leading ourselves. So we are commanded to find the will of God and do it. Ephesians 5 is probably the best one. It says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So Jesus Christ, he knew the will of the Lord because he was God. And he said, I came to do God's will. So go back to our passage, Hebrews 10, as he says there in verse 7, I come, (in parentheses), to do thy will. Notice verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. So Jesus came to do the will of the Lord. It says in verse 9, he took away the first that he might establish the second. That's talking about this Old Testament versus the New Testament, the law versus Jesus Christ's commandments. The law was nailed to the cross. And we already saw there in verse 10 when we looked at it last week, Jesus Christ, when he died, he only had to die once for all. Praise God. We saw that in verse 10, verse 12, verse 14. It only took one sacrifice. That was God's will. When Jesus Christ died on that cross and said, it is finished, he was accomplishing God's will. Now, it was painful, but the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that God was satisfied with the sacrifice. And to drive the point home, here in verse 12, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. That was a way of saying that it was done. He sat down. That's his way of saying it's complete. The will of the Lord was fulfilled when Jesus Christ died and rose again and went back to heaven to intercede for us. And that phrase is used many times in Hebrews. Let me show you. Look at chapter 1, verse 3, where God is trying to make a point that Jesus Christ fulfilled the will of God perfectly. He sat down. Notice Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look at chapter 8, in verse 1. It says, now the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So Jesus Christ sat down as a way of saying it was complete. Hebrews 12, Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus fulfilled the will of God. God wants us to follow in his steps and fulfill the will of God. Now, there's another example in the Bible of someone who did that, and that's the Apostle Paul. Go to Acts chapter 20, and we'll see that, where Paul expresses his gratitude, if you will, that he was able to fulfill the ministry that God had given him, which included the suffering, persecution, but he fulfilled what God had called him to do. And he was getting to the end of his life here in Acts 20, verse 22. He says, none of the things move me, now that I count on my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul says, my goal is to finish my course. Acts 20, verse 24. To finish my course. To basically do what God called me to do. God wants the same from us. And we've looked at it before, but go to 2 Timothy 4, where Paul wrote in his final words. This was the last book and the last chapter that Paul wrote before he was martyred there in Rome. And what did he say in his last chapter, chapter 4, verse 7 of 2 Timothy? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So in Acts, he says to the Ephesians, my goal is to finish my course. In 2 Timothy, probably 30 years later, he says, I have finished my course. He says, that's my goal. He got to the end and he said, praise God, I was able to do it. I was able to accomplish it. Jesus said the same thing. Just before he went to Calvary, he said in John 17, I finished the work which God gave me to do. It should be our goal to get to the end of our lives and be able to say that. I've done what God wanted me to do. So, a lot of Christians don't know what that is. And that's sad. So let's go to Ephesians 5 and we'll finish there, because this is the passage that mentions knowing the will of God. And let's make sure we do. Number one, know it, but fulfill it. So how can we know the will of the Lord? God gives us some simple steps. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we know right off that it's God's will that we redeem the time. What does that mean? We can't waste all of our time. We need to focus on pleasing the Lord. Notice he says, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then it's not a coincidence that the next verse says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You can't understand the will of the Lord if you're not filled with the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that's going to guide you into the knowledge of the will of the Lord through the Word of God. So if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you're not controlled by the Spirit, which means you're not going to fulfill what God wants you to do. Then he goes on to say, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. So it's God's will that we live a life of gratitude, that we're thankful for everything. And if we're seeking God's will and we're not living a life of gratitude, then we're not going to find it. And he goes on to talk about the family being submissive, the husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, children obeying their parents, all of that about the family, which means God wants us to be what? Biblical families. That's his will. So do we know what God's will is for our life today, this week, this month, this year? And are we fulfilling it? Because Jesus said, I come to do the will of the Lord. And Paul said, I've done the will of the Lord. And it should be our desire to get to the end of our lives and say, as Jesus, I did what God called me to do. As Paul said, I did what God asked me to do. Hopefully we can get to the end of our lives and say, I've done what God asked me to do. Not be filled with regrets. Because you can't undo it, can you? I come to do thy will.